Mr. Chairman. How would a road harm this area?
I feel that it would just bring so many more people to the area that it would increase the amount of pollution and the amount of traffic on the river. It would take away some of the wild and aspects, the reasons that we go there.
Of course, I presume that the people who would drive the road would go there for the same reason.
Yes, sir. But there are many other rivers that they can already access in that way. Also, I feel that if a road went there, all-terrain vehicles would probably start their own trails from roads. We've seen this happen in other areas where a road just opens up so much more access to, for example, four-wheelers. And I'm not against four-wheelers, but I think that some areas should be set aside and kept wild and kept clean the way they are. This is a relatively small area. It's not like Anwar.
So what you're saying is that more people would come there and that would ruin the whole area?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Let's go back now to Delta. Mr. Lawrence Gilbertson, are you there, Lawrence?
Lawrence has left, but I'm Mike Krause, and I'm next on the list from Delta. I currently am chairman of the Solmar Conservation District. I represent 400 cooperators.
I'm sorry, sir. Would you state your name again, please?
Okay, Mike Carlson.
Please continue, Mr. Carlson.
Okay, I represent the South Chabig Delta Saltwater Conservation District. And we have 400 cooperators who are property owners in the area. Basically, we are opposed to House Bill 94 for a variety of reasons. One is that it is essentially a lockup of a resource base. I keep hearing the word road to the good pasture, and nowhere in any of the planning has there been a road projected to go to the good pasture itself. There have been roads proposed to go into high access or high value timber areas, nothing dropping into the Tanawha drainage. If you look at the extent of land that this bill encompasses, it would effectively take a tremendous amount of commercially valuable timber and take it away from any future resource use. I would have to comment that Bob Dick has perhaps the best comments I've heard. I've really not looked at that area as closely as we should. I don't think anybody wants to destroy the Good Pasture River. If those people are very, very concerned, most of the other rivers have at least a quarter of a mile of no access, and this would be far sufficient, and yet we are not even coming close to that. When they talk about 3,000 users of the river signing a form letter saying that they want House Bill 94 to protect it for wildlife resources, I wonder how many of those 3,000 people really investigated what we're looking at. I believe Mr. Boyer, Representative Boyer, said something about jobs, that the state wouldn't get any money out of the timber up there anyway, and that there'd just be a few jobs. The question, his comment, because what is the state in the business for? To make money from the resources or to allocate resources for use of the people to provide jobs and livings? The planning process has been circumvented, I agree, with Barry. I think it's been very one-sided towards his group all the way along. His group seems to have the ability to hire him or someone as a spokesman to be at every meeting and seems to have unlimited time to procrastinate and comment. The rest of us people cannot take or afford to take the time to fit all of the planning processes, and it's one of those things where he just wears and wears and wears. We have been opposed to this legislative designation since the inception, and we continue to be opposed to it. If we had to choose an alternate to House Bill 94, it would be our opinion that Senate Bill number 49, introduced by Senator Schultz, would have much more merit can go back in and protect the Good Pass River if it needs it. I don't know what these people are afraid of at this point in time. I think they're looking at something that isn't there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. Representative Finkelstein has a question for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It isn't so much as a question as a comment, but I just for the future, I think if you want to make an impact on these issues, you ought to try to focus more on the substance, because all you get when you insult legislators and insult the other side is a lot of bad feeling. I started out with a pretty open mind on this thing, but I can tell you I'd be glad to vote yes after hearing your comments.
I don't know how I insulted anyone.
Just go read the transcripts. The trying to say that the legislators or the sponsor of this bill are out trying to go to the hearings and essentially promote one side or do anything else, or attacking the particular form that the opponents use in their input. They're not attacking your side in terms of your input. Everyone's welcome to express their views in this country.
Well, I'm sorry you misread me, but I certainly didn't intend it to be that way.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. Is there anyone left there in Delta that has come in recently?
Yes.
Could you give me their names, please?
Tyler Conkle.
Again, please.
Tyler Conkle.
Tyler Conkle. I'll come back to you in a moment. I understand there are more people at the Delta site, and we'll try to get an updated sign-in sheet from them, if you would, please. So we'll come back to Dell in just a while. Next, I'd like to go to Fairbanks. Mr. John Huber, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
If you would, please state your name for the record and who you represent.
My name is John Huber, Jr., and I represent, in this case, myself and the Huber family. I'm a 44-year resident of Fairbanks, a third-generation user of the Good Pasture. I've used it with my father and my grandfather before me. I'm not particularly anti-anything. I'm not anti-mining. I'm not anti-logging. I'm not anti-industry. What I would say is that from a lifelong experience of using the Good Pasture River, that this area is to me the shining example of what I live in Alaska for. Any value that's up there that could be achieved through mining is being done so. It's being done in a reasonable manner. It's not being proposed to be restricted by HB 94. The timber in the area, I've stopped the whole drainage. I recently boated up as far as Slate Creek. I've boated the area with 3 horse engines and 200 horse engines. It's a shining example of a prime recreational and wildlife habitat area. It's, like I said, it's the reason I live here. Its value in that regard outstrips any resource that may yet to be found there. I would appreciate your support in Hospital 94 and preserving that area for future generations to use. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Huber. I'd like to go back now to Delta. And Tyler, are you there?
Yes.
If you would, please, sir, state your name for the record, who you represent, and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Tyler Conkle. I'm representing myself. I work with an organization that is a logging company. We do not support House Bill 94. We would support a road that accesses that area for the use of logging without detracting from recreational use. The organization that I'm with has 51 people who are presently supported by the logging industry in Delta Junction, and I see that logging is a traditional use of land around Delta. There's been logging going on in this area for over 30 years, therefore it's not really to be restricted from that area. It can be done in a way that both recreational and logging and other uses of the timber are working together. And I think that a further investigation and planning time would be beneficial to everyone involved to come up with a way to do all the things that are in the interest of the people that live here. Living in Delta, it is not a place that I go to get away from someplace. It's the place that I live. And my livelihood is here. My family is here. And the families of those 51 people are here. And therefore, it is our bread and butter area that you're talking about, not my recreational play area. And I think it needs to be protected for that reason, that more jobs could be made available if the timber resources of that area are accessible and a road would be necessary to do that. Some of the timber that is now valuable, as has already been stated in this teleconference, that was once not valuable is now being seen as valuable, particularly hardwoods. And the need for those hardwoods are being presented to the local forestry because that is where we will expand in the timber industry in this area, is in the hardwood use. I believe that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Coggle. I'd like to go on to Fairbanks. Mr. Morris? Excuse me, we'll go back to Mr. Coggle. We have a question for you by or from Representative Boyer. Representative Boyer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tyler, if you could answer, are there other areas that are not included in either the current Tennenaw Valley State Forest or the proposed public use area here that have high timber values that are more easily, well, can you answer that question first?
I would have to say that there probably are other areas accessible. You stumbled over the word easily, and I think you hit on it. This is where I live and operate, to travel more of a distance to get to the valuable resources that are right here in the Delta area. Doesn't make much economic sense to me as a logger when a road accessing that, which is very reasonably close, is what I would be after.
Yeah, I guess I was going to stumble over easily, because it's always relative value. If you don't have to pay for the road to access the area, if the state picks up the tab for the road, which is, you know, how we're doing, how we do business here, I suppose, then that makes it absolutely easier to you. And you know, I appreciate the fact that no one wants to drive 100 miles to access a resource. But I, you know, what we're trying to do here is provide other less controversial areas for timber cutting. No one is opposed, I don't think, in this room to timber cutting or the lifestyle of the 51 people that you work with or any of that. And that's what we were trying to work toward, is adding more timber resource to the base and avoiding the conflict in this particular area. I'd like for you to think about that. I think that there probably is a way out of this, and I'm probably more than lots of people want to work toward providing more resource base and also access to that resource base in a way that we avoid these kind of conflicts.
If I can comment here, an awful lot of money comes out of my back pocket for the putting in and maintaining of roads that I log on. At this point in time, as a Delta area logger, I have not received any state money to put in or maintain logging roads.
Representative Boyer has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wonder if you could tell me what the name of your company is and where you do log now and where you've been logging, please.
Big Delta Milling. We log in the Gerstle River area, mile 1408, harvesting salvage timber from firewood, the Salt Shaw Creek drainage area. We have a log sale up in there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Tyler, is there another person there to testify in Delta?
Yes, there is.
Okay, would you?
Yes, hello. My name is Jim Moser. I work with Tyler also. I think basically Tyler has said most everything that we wanted to say together. I'm happy that it seems like we may have a possibility of accessing the timber that's up the Shaw Creek and the drainage is up in that direction. because there's very few areas that have the concentration of timber that's close to Delta. We have to drive 30, 40 miles away to get any other decent concentrations of timber, that being the Gristle River, and that area is fading.
Thank you very much. Next, I'd like to go to Mr. Morris in Fairbanks.
I'm Jim Mobius. I represent my family, member of the Good Pasture Property Owners Association, a user since 1970. I use area off the river to a distance of about 5 miles. I maintain an old trap line and use it as a ski trail. It's quite a ways off the river and value not just the immediate river corridor. I would submit that the recreational and other uses that are presently have more economic value in terms of the lumber, groceries, fuel purchased in the Delta economy, the immediate Delta economy, that will be continuous, a totally renewable thing, outweigh the economic value of any timber sale that could appear in the area. As a 13-year participant in a riverboat race from Fairbanks to Galena, and lucky enough to be there first six of those times, I would have to say the use of the boat and its speed has very little to do with the impact on the river. And I would specifically say that the users of the Good Pasture have operated equipment in a fashion which does not negatively impact the river. And horsepower is not relevant. It's really the nut behind the wheel, if you may, that causes impact. And I have not seen any misuse. And there is no documented use of any negative impact on fish spawning for any species on the river. The forestry plans have not been impacted. There are numerous sales planned. HB 894 will not impact employment opportunities. In the Delta Area Forestry five-year schedule of timber sales for fiscal years 92 to 96, there are no sales planned in the area. And my guess is that numerous parcels will go begging as they have in the past. The plan does allow logging, does add, you know, the plan as proposed in now in legislation, and I just repeat what's been previously said, adds a net 100,000 acres to forestry lands. Other comments were included in letters that were sent down by fax today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Morris. Is there anyone here in Fairbanks who I've missed that would like to testify? No. So we'll go back to Fairbanks and Mr. Bill Strucker. Are you there?
Stringer. Stroker.
Mr. Bill Stroker?
It's Thursday. We must be juvenile.
Hello, Fairbanks. Bill, are you there?
Hello, Cale. I was born in Fairbanks. My partner and I built the second recreational cabin on the river in 1953 prior to statehood. I've been out in the area long before there ever was a Delta Junction.
Bill, would you give your name for the record, please, and who you represent?
I represent myself.
Good. And your name, please.
Box 1230, Fairbanks, 99707.
And your name?
Okay, his name is Bill Stroker.
Stroecker, is that correct?
That's correct.
Please proceed with your comments.
Okay, the bulk of our membership in the Good Pasture River Property Owners Association was created by the state when the land disposal occurred. It seems to me that therefore it's up to the state to protect the properties that they created. It's true that an argument is used against our group that we have property up there and that we have high-powered boats. And anybody who's up there knows that you better have a high-powered boat if you're going to run the 10 on our river. But it seems to me that the state should do something to protect that property. It's about 250 miles from Tok down in Enana. The bulk of the timber in the Tanna Valley is on the river. Most of the logging is done on the Tanana River, not up on the hills. You're looking out the window around Juneau there, the timber that couldn't be logged that is much bigger than anything you can find up here. To begin with, our association was formed because of the attacks by the Bureau of Land Management in trying to open up various townships in effect. And then lastly, the Forestry Department, which had a series of plans. And in opposition to what Mr. Carlson said a minute ago, there was a plan to build an all-weather road up to the Good Pasture, across the Good Pasture, and on up river, parallel to the Tanana River. At that point, our association began to get nervous and started having meetings with the Forestry Department to keep abreast of what they were doing. It sounds good to talk about the potential millions of dollars worth of timber, but in effect, it's not true. In the first place, the forestry, the sawmill and lumber business up here is very seasonal, perhaps on a four-month basis, and the amount of investment required to operate successfully wouldn't justify a four-month operation. So you have two very seasonal types of things involved here. One is operating the mill in the summer when the rivers are open and it's warm. The other is logging, which is primarily done in the winter. So again, it sounds good with all this great potential, but in my estimation and knowing something about the economy, I don't believe it'll ever happen. So now what the issue is access to the area. And this is borne out by the statement of a letter from Mr. Schultz to Swope, the commissioner at that time, who said that, in effect, that the issue is access. I'm disturbed that he doesn't say what the access is to. I think that should be looked into, because it was recognized shortly after this plan was brought up that the timber didn't exist in the area that they wanted to build a road. Now, in 250 miles of Tanana, it seems odd that they would take practically the last, with the exception of the Salcher River, recreational river, beautiful stream for those who've never been there, and try to open up the area for something that in effect doesn't exist. Because I can't ferret out many successful sawmill operations. There's one that's been in the area for 30 years up there who is successful, who I talked to just a few days ago. There's no timber there that he can use, but he did log, or rather he cut 900 cords of firewood in a burn. But the logs that he is using in his sawmill, he's still getting around his sawmill down by the Gersel River, which is about 30 miles upstream from Delta. So I think you should look into the number of operations, and I think the Forestry Department should provide that information to you. How many operations there have been in the last 20 years? How many there are right now? How much lumber has been produced? I support the House Bill 94, and the lieu of House Bill 94, I think it's up to the state or one of its agencies to protect this area.
Thank you, Bill. Question from Representative Carney.
Yes, I wondered if you would be in favor of disposing of additional private land holdings along the river so that other people could live up there and enjoy it.
What was the question?
What's your name?
Bill? Can you hear me?
Hold on one second.
It's kind of hard to hear.
I wouldn't be against land disposal, but I think it should be planned as carefully as a private subdivider would plan a subdivision. And a little bit of history on that goes back to when the land disposal was put into effect up there. It was done out of Anchorage. Joe Keenan at the time was the head of it. I knew him personally. I urged him to come to the good pastor to look it over before they had the land disposal, see what it looked like, and that wasn't done. So it was done haphazardly, and I'm in favor of everybody having a place up here, and almost anybody who lives up here any length of time has their own place to go. So I wouldn't be opposed to that if it's done in the same manner that a land developer would develop a subdivision. And by that I mean the problems that have been caused in the past where you wind up with a cabin across the river from another cabin facing each other just because somebody that's out of the area down in Anchorage or wherever the plan was developed didn't know what they were doing. So again, I'm glad the subject was brought up because the planning that was done in the past was erroneous, it was haphazard, and I think that if there's a land development, I think it's in order. Not the way the two that were done in the past were done, because for those who've been around quite a while, back when John Butkovich was in the legislature, there was a land development up at the Forks. The Record Village was surveyed out at a big cost to the state, and way up the river, creating all kinds of traffic on the river, and Joe Lawler, the manager here at the time, the result was he lost his job, and the development never did occur. A few years ago, there was another development. One earlier when I said...
Say, Bill, sorry.
Illustrated. This Bill. Development was up past the Forks on the North Fork, 400 acres with 5-acre tracks, mostly off the river.
Okay, Bill, I'm sorry, but we've run out of time. We have one more person there we've got to hear from, and then we've got to close this operation down, okay?
Yeah, I've actually got two people, if we could fit them in real quickly.
Okay, if you would, please. The first one, is that Virgil?
Right. My name is Virgil. I'm from Howard. I live in North Pole. I'm a commercial fisherman, fish processor, member of the U.S.-Canada Treaty Negotiations for Salmon on the Yukon River, and I'm co-chairman of the Yukon River Range Fisheries Association. What I want to talk about is that there are over 44 villages in the drainage in Alaska, not counting what's in Canada. The Good Pasture River is a very important king salmon spawning area. There are over 900 commercial fishing permits downriver from the Good Pasture River. These salmon bring the highest price on the world market of any salmon in the world, period, when they're caught at the mouth of the Yukon or in the first 300 miles of the Yukon. What worries me about logging is what I've seen happen in many other areas, and that is that it causes soil erosion and get salt in the stream, and when you do that, those king salmon, little baby king salmon, when they hatch out, spend their first 2 years in fresh water before they go to the ocean. And I am dead against anything that's going to salt that clear water up and kill those baby king salmon. Thank you.
Thank you, Virgil. And the last person to testify in Fairbanks, your name, please.
I'm Jim Matthews. I'm a 34-year resident of the Tanana Valley. I am a 34-year user of the Good Pasture. And I just want to hit a few points that haven't been touched on. I would say this. The river is a very important Arctic grayling habitat. 50% of the grayling that are in residence in the Delta Clearwater across the Tanana from the Good Pasture are spawned in the Good Pasture. That's from a 1990 study by the Department of Fish and Game. I hope you'll pick that up for your file. Unlike the Delta Clearwater. The good pasture hasn't been impacted by development. The Delta Clearwater has, and thousands and thousands of dollars are being sought to overcome that impact from a related land development, a military a land use, even agricultural development. So we're concerned with a real serious concern in the near proximity. I would say this too, that since statehood, hundreds of thousands of acres have been dedicated in the Delta area for agricultural use. The Tanana Valley State Forest lays just adjacent to the good pasture. There are millions of acres there for forest use, so we're just trying to get some balance in land use dedication, but ours is the least restrictive of any kind of dedication in use. I would say this too, that the research in the Good Pasture River system is most noticeable for its absence or for its very high generality. The Department of Fish and Game is the only long-term public agency that has seen fit to do research in the river system. The Soil Conservation Service, which undergirds land use planning, does not have intensive soil surveys in the river system. They have their most general exploratory survey, which is primarily a photo interpretation survey of the Good Pasture system. So I think that the evidence provided by the Department of Fish and Game is substantial. It's a reflection of those values that Alaskans hold very dearly there, the wildlife, the natural resources, the outdoor recreation resources. So I think just the evidence that they've been there for a long time, other agencies have not, it kind of gives you a feeling of what the real resource values are there. I'm very appreciative of this opportunity to add to the comment, and thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you very much, Mr. Matthews. And with that, I'd like to thank Liz in Delta, Mike in Fairbanks, and Barbara here in Juneau. This meeting is adjourned.
You got them all, huh?
Got them all.
Yeah.